It is time to cross over this week as Monday Night Football pits two teams that aren't leaving their fans very thankful this year. We'll dissect what might happen on today's episode. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering both your Indianapolis Colts and your Pittsburgh Steelers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Crossover Thursday is presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so much fun and it's easy to play. There's no competing with other players. It's just you versus the other projections. Pick two to four players. If they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. It can literally take less than 60 seconds to enter. It's that easy. We love Prize Picks. We know you guys will too. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. This is Zach Hicks of Locked On Colts alongside Christopher Carter of Locked On Steelers. On today's episode, we're going to look at the biggest storylines for both teams, the biggest matchups to keep an eye on, and ultimately who we think will prevail in this one. So, Chris, since I'm kind of running this thing, I did all this intro stuff here. I'll let you take away here with the first storyline. What's your biggest storyline for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game against the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I think the biggest storyline right now is can the offense actually take steps forward for the Pittsburgh Steelers? They scored 20 points the week before against the Saints, which doesn't sound like much to a lot of people, but that was pretty good for how bad the Steelers' offense has been this year. And then they scored 30 points in a loss to the Bengals. And now the questions have started to kind of rummage around, like, have the Steelers started to figure things out? Is Kenny Pickett getting better? Is the offensive line playing better? Is Najee Harris, figuring it out? What's going on there? And I think against a defense like the Colts, you got Shaquille Leonard. You got your guys on the team. You have a unit that gets after it. I think that this is a chance for them to kind of step up and say, like, hey, and not, you don't have to score 30 points this game. I don't think they will, but I think this is a chance for them to be able to say, hey, you know what? We can generate points. We can generate more than one good drive a game, which is what they were doing for much of this season, whether it was Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. This week, I think we've looked at it. Kenny Pickett has talked a lot about it. They talked about, how to incorporate more of their top wide receiver, Deontay Johnson, into the picture, but they've also talked about how part of getting him into the picture is, getting teams to force to look elsewhere for double teams. And, I think that's been that'll be interesting to see. Part of the formula that they've said that Mike Tomlin's laid out for that is hitting on more on more big plays to George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth, their other top options now after Chase Claypool being traded away. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of an identity the Steelers offense looks to provide in this game.
Yeah, it's funny. I think you and I were like notes or something when we're talking about this game, because the biggest storyline for the Indianapolis Colts is what it's been all season. Can this offense do anything? We have seen this Indianapolis Colts offense just struggle all season to generate points. And they've had a lot of opportunities to score. They have one of the best defenses in all of football. The Indianapolis Colts defense held the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs to 17 points each in those matchups. And they were 1-1 in those two games. A last-second touchdown against the Chiefs to win it, and then they fall short this past week against the Eagles. This Colts defense is very, very good, but this Colts offense has just been extremely inconsistent. They scored over 20 points only twice this season, and both those games were wins. So it shows, Colts want to win games. They just have to score. That's it. I know that's a tall task for this offense and for a lot of teams this year, but they have the talent on that side of the ball. They've had some success in a couple games, against the Jacksonville Jaguars a couple weeks ago, against the Las Vegas Raiders 2 weeks ago. And I think this is a good chance for the offense to, find some kind of rhythm. The Pittsburgh Steelers just allowed 350 yards passing and four touchdowns to Joe Burrow. Now Joe Burrow is definitely better than who the Colts are rolling out, but this defense is not invulnerable. This is a defense where the Colts can score points. It's just, will they do it? We haven't really seen it much this season. Again, two games this year, over 20 points. That is just atrocious in today's NFL. I know scoring is down this year, but man, it's an offensive driven league, and you can't be scoring, you know, 10, 12, 13 points a game. So if the Colts really want to come out and win this game, or they want to show anything for the rest of the season, even their offense has to start doing something. We've seen little moments here and there, but by and large, it has just been a really, really bad season for the Colts offense. So kind of similar, you know, kind of similar storylines between our two teams right now, Chris. I mean, these are just bad offenses.
I mean, and part of it's just the rebuilding process. You know, the Colts, they have Matt Ryan. You know, they had Phillip Rivers before. They've been kind of churning around, waiting for the next franchise quarterback to come after what, you know, that happens when you lose an Andrew Luck and it kind of sets you back. The Steelers are in a different situation where it's they have their the guy who they think might be their franchise quarterback, but he's a rookie and he needs to adapt. And you know, one thing that my friend Alan Saunders said on the show a few weeks back, people call Kenny Pickett a pro-ready quarterback. People don't understand that normally pro-ready just means pro-ready to get your butt kicked in your first year in the NFL, which is what Kenny Pickett's done. Now, as a person who's covered Kenny Pickett at the University of Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and over the past couple of years, like this guy has done this before where he's come in, you know, not look great, but, you know, look like he's focused. He's trying to get things done and it just, things haven't gone his way, but he learns from, he adapts to them. And that's how he progressed to being the third leading Heisman vote getter last year in college football. So I do think that part of this is the learning process that the Steelers wanted him to go through to see, hey, how does he handle, you know, being in the game? How does he handle, you know, adversity? How does he handle losses? Because they knew that was going to come this year. And can they find an identity in their offense that'll carry them next year? Because everyone knew, the Steelers even knew, like, this isn't their Super Bowl year. This isn't the year that they were probably going to make the playoffs. But this was a chance for them to grow. And if they made the playoffs, awesome. But if the biggest thing they wanted to pull out of this year was, can Kenny Pickett become the franchise start to take significant steps to being their franchise guy this year and take good strides. I think that's kind of where they are. And for the Colts, you know, you're trying to find your identity so that when you do find your quarterback, you know, maybe you make moves in the draft to get him this year. You want to, you know, the way of the world in the NFL right now is, build a strong team with your money, your free agency, and your other draft picks, and then get a quarterback on a rookie deal that's really good, and then just build around them and just go and win. And you know, if the offensive line with Quentin Nelson can come together, you got Jonathan Taylor, you got I like Alec Pierce, I like Michael Pittman, I like the way they play, I like the defense there. If you know, next year the Colts got, you know, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, one of those guys, you know, and they started to light it up, it could immediately flip things around. I think it's just the way of the NFL these days.
Right, right. Yeah, no, those two teams are definitely, they're in the same category right now, but going into the season, they were in different mindsets. You know, the Colts were trying to push those chips in. They were getting Matt Ryan, Stephon Gilmore, Yannick Ngakoue. Mm-hmm. They were going to push those chips in and try to make a run, and it just didn't work. I mean, all the turmoil that we've seen with the Colts, you know, the Frank Reich firing, the Mark Sprady firing, the three-week benching of Matt Ryan or whatever it was. I mean, yeah, it's been just a tumultuous season for the Colts. And the Steelers, you know, they kind of expected this, even though they probably thought they'd be a better team this year. But yeah, it's just kind of been that way for both our teams this season. They're kind of going through some of their bumps and bruises. But up next, guys, we're going to talk about our biggest matchups in this game. But first, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Guys, it's holiday time. Thanksgiving's pretty much here, and Christmas is just a month out. If you're like me, you absolutely get overwhelmed by this time of year. You know, we just moved into a new house, my wife and I, and we're hosting Thanksgiving after a few days of moving in. You know, that is hectic, it's crazy, and it's absolutely insane. And my wife is an angel for even trying it. But simply put, it'd be pretty sweet if life came with a user manual sometimes. Unfortunately, life doesn't really come with that user manual. So when it's not working for you, it's normal just to feel stuck. Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine called you. BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, secure, and accessible anywhere, 100% online. Getting a hand to help talk you through coping with life's demands, learning self-empowerment, dealing with trauma, whatever it may be, is so, so important. Everyone deserves to feel their best. BetterHelp makes it easy to get started. As the world's leading therapy service, they've matched millions of people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com /lockedon. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lockedon. All right, Chris, so just like how we start for a segment, since I kind of have you here on me hosting here, we'll let you start with the biggest matchup. What are you looking forward to in this game against the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, I mean, the big thing is that this is a defense that, you know, was always driven by Shaq Leonard, and with him on injured reserve, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, how do you see the Colts stopping the run in this game? Like, because to me right now, the Steelers offense, as much as people talk about Kenny Pickett, what's gotten them going the last 2 weeks is Najee Harris in the run game. He had 99 yards against the Saints. He had 116 all-purpose yards against the Bengals, has had three touchdowns in the last two games. And that, I think, has set the table for Kenny Pickett to not have to be desperate in games, and why these were his first two games that he didn't throw an interception. And, you know, you look at the Colts situation right now, Shaq Leonard, you know, some people say he's done for the year, but he had a back surgery and he's been dealing with stuff. But you know, I look at this Colts defense. You still got DeForest Buckner, you still got Yannick Ngakoue. How have you seen them deal with adversity this year and find ways to still be like a strong run defense?
Yeah, you know, the Colts have always been a strong run defense the last couple seasons, and then we expected that to take a step back this season with the change to Gus Bradley, because Gus Bradley's scheme is very much stop the run on the way to your quarterback. You know, it's not like Matt Eberflus's, where we're going to stop the run first and then worry about the pass. But what we've seen this year with the Indianapolis Colts is, you know, even with Shaquille Leonard out, we've seen really, really strong play from their linebacker group. I mean, Zaire Franklin is one of the top tacklers in all of football right now. I think he's in the top five in total tackles. He's been a phenomenal fill-in player at Mike for the Colts. And then Bobby Okereke is having a career best year. You know, I thought he'd be a great fit in this Gus Bradley scheme, but he has just been even better than I expected. But it really, you know, the run defense, what it really comes down to is the star that is Grover Stewart on the inside. He's playing that one tech and nose tackle position for the Colts. Mm-hmm. And he's always been a guy who has been really effective for this team. But this year, he really took it to a new level. I think I saw a stat the other day that he has 16 tackles for a loss on non-sacks this season. That's for a nose tackle. You know, it leads the NFL. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. He's really ascending to new heights. And if you want to run on this Colts defense, do not run them up the middle. Do not run up the gut. Do not attack the inside. You got to get on the edges, even though this is a fast defense, because if you're going to run inside, you got to deal with DeForest Buckner. You got to deal with these linebackers, and you got to deal with Grover Stewart. And that's why the Colts, I think, are our second best run defense in terms of EPA per play in all of the NFL right now.
That's interesting. I think it speaks well to how they've assembled that group to kind of deal with the loss of Shaq Leonard and still be able to keep churning in that way. You know, the Steelers have found a similar way to kind of rebound. You know, last year they had the worst rushing defense in the NFL. The owner Art Rooney said that ain't gonna happen again this year. They're seventh in the league as far as rushing defense. And you know, the Colts, I think again, there's a lot of similarities between these teams. You know, when you look at their ability to stop the run. You know, so I'm intrigued to see how they play. But I think the other thing is that the Colts do have one of the better pass defenses, at least production wise, in the NFL this year. And again, that's with facing Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes on their schedule. What has gone into that? Because, you know, I look at this group and Stephon Gilmore's there, but I mean, Kenny Moore, Roddy McLeod, and Julian Blackman, it's not exactly the group that like strikes fear into the heart of men, you know, but they seem to find a way to string together and play consistent football. What's helped them be a better unit against the pass this year?
Yeah, you know, it's been phenomenal, because what we've seen with the whole NFL is this just change to the two high scheme. Everyone's doing too high. You know, it's all cover two quarters, you know, that Fangio quarters defense that we're seeing everybody kind of gravitate toward. But Gus Bradley is still Gus Bradley. You know, he loves that single high safety. He loves that cover three and cover one. And I think this is the most talented defense that he's been able to work with since his days with the Chargers. You know, this isn't like with the Raiders last year, where he was in cover three like 90% of the time. You know, they're still running cover three like 70% of the time this year, but they're being so much more diverse with it. You know, a lot of cover three match, a lot of having the athletic linebackers that can carry vertical routes, that can take away play action. And then having corners on the outside that are playing really good football. I mean, Isaiah Rodgers Sr. on the outside, I think he's allowed less than 100 yards, you know, in the passing game this entire season, given it's in 200 coverage snaps. So it's not in like full starters role, but it's still been pretty good. And then Stephon Gilmore on the other side has been one of the best corners in all of football. Kenny Moore II isn't playing up to his, you know, his ability that he usually plays at, but he's playing some pretty good football. And then Rodney McLeod has been a really good free agent signing for them. So I think what you're really looking at with this defense, even with Shaquille Leonard out, this pass defense is just kind of a sum of its all of its parts there. You know, all these guys are playing their role really well. The linebackers are really effective in this scheme, and this very difficult scheme for them to be effective in. And these outside corners are just locking it down. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it's like, you know, it's not like the no-fly zone. It's not like any of that kind of stuff. It's not that kind of shutdown. But they're a tough team to get going against. They're really competitive at the catch point. And, you know, you can get some underneath stuff and maybe get a couple big plays, but they're a really sound pass defense overall, and they make you work for it.
I think that's what you have to do. Because in today's NFL, you can't be the defenses of yesteryear, where like the 2000 Ravens, the 2008 Steelers, when you would hold teams to like 100 yards a game. Like there'd be times that they would just push. Today's game is designed for offenses to thrive and to carry teams forward. And I think the best defenses are the ones that take away your top option as best they can. They stuff the run. They don't let you get loose with that. And then on key play downs, they get after the quarterback. They find ways to put you in tough third down and distance situations. And then they take advantage of your mistakes. And I think that's the identity that both of these teams strive to have. You know, Gus Bradley's a guy, he's engineered those defenses before. So he knows what he's doing here in Indianapolis. That's why I think this is a very intriguing matchup for both teams right now, just for where they are in the season. Not that they're either is like looking to turn into a Super Bowl champion this year, but still, like, you know, I always, you know, even when seasons are thought to be lost and thought to be, you know, not of consequence to be a major contender, I think it's always interesting to see when you're building a roster, when you're building, you know, a group of players that are so young, how do they respond in the middle of tough seasons, how they respond after tough weeks, you know? And I think that's something that often can set the stage for how organizations move forward with a lot of their younger players, especially when they want to soon become, competitors. And I think these are two teams that they're down right now, but if you look at these organizations and the way that they're building, I think that, you know, again, a quarterback and some more investments for the Colts, and they could be in an interesting position. And for the Steelers, the development of Kenny Pickett, and if they're able to build their offensive line and maybe get like a number one corner to be on their roster, I think it does them wonders for what they're able to do moving forward.
And there's one more matchup I want to talk about here before we jump to our last segment, and that is the Steelers pass rush versus a really porous Colts offensive line. You know, we have seen, again, a couple decent games here and there from this Colts offensive line, but it kind of all fell apart last week against a very, very stout Philadelphia Eagles front. Right guard Will Fries really struggled with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave on the inside. And then rookie Bernard Raimann really, really struggled with Josh Sweat at left tackle. Tell me about this Steelers pass rush and why it's, you know, the saving grace of the Steelers defense so far this year.
Well, I mean, it has been when it's been on. Right. You know, you look at how the Steelers have played this year, and if you're paying attention, like, this is actually a down year as far as the sack production, but a lot of that's because T.J. Watt missed 8 games. And for those who might not know, T.J. Watt came into the league in 2017. In every year that he's been on the Steelers roster, they have led the NFL in sacks. And that's just that he's been that dominant. And it's not just him by himself. It's what he does to get other people opportunities. Cam Hayward has been doing well. Alex Highsmith leads the team with, I think, what, 9 sacks this year? I might be a little off there. But he's gotten most of those when T.J. Watt's been on the field. And he's been on the field for 3 games. And it's just like, that's what he does, is that he takes away distractions from other teams. They double team him, they chip him, and it doesn't allow them to double team Cam Hayward. It doesn't allow them to double team Larry Ogunjobi or Alex Highsmith. And they kind of feed off each other in that way. And then you'll see the occasional extra rusher like Devin Bush or Robert Spillane or Miles Jack coming up the middle, or they'll blitz Arthur Marlette off the corner. But the Steelers' defense has always been about getting after the quarterback and winning that way. That's just how they built. That's how they built it. And, this is a new defensive coordinator in Terrell Austin, but it's still the same message. Stuff the run, get after the quarterback, you know, play complementary football where your secondary does enough in coverage and your pass rush does enough to get after the quarterback, that somewhere either you're going to force a mistake or a quarterback into a tough decision to either eat a sack or throw a risky football into a tight passing window. But it's really a collective part of it. But granted, it hasn't been there that this year. I guess my big thing is, what's going on with the Colts offensive line? Because, you know, Quentin Nelson was like my A1 guy of the entire league for so long. And I've just seen reps this year where I'm like, that's not the guy I watched for the last several years. Like, what's been going on? It's been bizarre to watch that Colts offensive line be not as good this year.
Yeah, I'll touch on it real quick because I know we got to jump to our last segment here in a minute. But, like, it's just been a combination of, you know, down years for Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, and Braden Smith, who were thought to be, you know, top guys. You know, they're all getting paid like top guys. But then really the struggles at right guard and left tackle have really, really held them down. You know, they've gone with, I think, 6 or 7 different offensive line combinations this season, trying to just get that stuff figured out. And it goes back to the offseason decision to kind of give the jobs to guys like Matt Pryor and Danny Pinter, who are no longer even starters for this team. And it's kind of weighed down the confidence and just the play of the other guys around them. So maybe next year, if they add some more quality guys to those positions, or maybe these guys that they have out there right now are developing, it looks a little bit better in 2023. But yeah, I think it's safe to say this offensive line is not going to turn it around this year, because we really haven't seen them turn it around whatsoever this season.
Absolutely. We're going to get to more parts of this matchup in just a minute here on Crossover Thursday here in the Locked On Podcast Network. But first, we got to talk to you guys about BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the NFL season. You got Thanksgiving Thursday well underway, but the NBA is here, the NHL is here, and you got World Cup. You got so much action going on in sports right now. The best place to go get your information on it is Bet Online, which is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action when you visit Bet Online, where the game starts. We're also brought to you by Simply Safe. Sports analogy for you real quick. These are two tough defenses, right? Well, you need a tough defense to defend your home against burglars and threats to your castle. Well, this is where Simply Safe comes in, because Simply Safe home security is a place where safety is the only thing that matter. They use cutting edge technology. They're powered by 24/7 professional monitoring agents who always have your back, so that you know that your home is always safe. What I can tell you is that Simply Safe staff is always there to help. They're attentive. They pay attention to what you're asking, and they do everything they can to help you find what you're looking for or to figure out what situation you're in. I really love how simple the phone app for Simply Safe makes it easy to contact Simply Safe staff, and it makes it easy to get answers when you have questions thanks to their app and their support team. With 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe's agents call you the moment a threat is detected and dispatch police or first responders in an emergency, even if you're not home or can't be reached. Simply Safe blankets your home in protection with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and outside your home. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. Save 20% on your Simply Safe security system when you sign up for an interactive monitoring plan and get your first month for free. Visit simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL to learn more, because there's no safe like Simply Safe. Back here on Crossover Thursday here, it's Chris Carter and Zach Hicks, Locked On Steelers, Locked On Hulks. We're breaking things down here. Zach, we look into this game and, you know, sometimes you start asking, what do these teams have to play for? I also think that even though it's like, obviously, these teams are like playoff contenders right now, there's always the chance that things slip up and that guys can find focus. But you've seen a charge from these Colts right now. What do you think has gotten behind them with Jeff Saturday and their new coach to kind of start figuring things out? You pulled off the upset 2 weeks ago. You almost pulled off the upset of the year in beating the Eagles last week. That would have been amazing. What has gotten into this team that's it's kind of woken up and say, hey guys, we can bang with anybody right now?
Well, I think, you know, even when Frank Reich was kind of at the helm and he was the head coach early in the season, yes, there were the two bad losses, you know, to the New England Patriots, and there was the really, really bad loss of week 2 in Jacksonville. But this team has always been pretty competitive. Again, they upset the Kansas City Chiefs early in the season. They've been competitive in a lot of games. It's just, it wasn't there. And then I think just the energy of bringing in that interim head coach and it being, you know, a local legend, you know, Jeff Saturday, a guy who was, you know, an undrafted free agent who became a Pro Bowl type guy and was phenomenal during the Peyton Manning years. You know, the Peyton Manning years that are so, they're kind of like deified here in Indianapolis. You know, those Peyton Manning years.
Understandable.
We're just like, yeah, understandable. If you just win one Super Bowl, that's enough to make a legend. I mean, look, Nick Foles has a statue with Philadelphia.
he does.
That's literally, I mean, just got to win one Super Bowl. They did that. You know, they had Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday and a lot of other great players. And I think bringing that kind of known figurehead to the face of this, and a guy who speaks really well, who's just a really calming, energetic presence, a very rah-rah guy. They kind of needed that. And I think that was kind of the kick in the butt that they needed to get some energy. Now, I don't think it's going to be enough for a run here, and my prediction might show that today. But I do think that they are playing a little bit better in recent weeks. We've seen the turnovers come down. We've seen, you know, the play not be as sloppy as it was early in the season. We've seen them come out a little more physical than what they did in those first 8 weeks. So I do think we've seen some good things under interim head coach Jeff Saturday. I don't know if it's going to be enough for them this year, but you got to like some of the energy that these guys are showing.
Absolutely. Let's get to our predictions real quick here. What's your outlook for this game? I don't like to just do score predictions. I like to do, I mean, right. like that's where we finish. But what is your biggest factor in what determines this game? And when does that kick in? Where do you see the turning point coming in this game to get to the final score that you have?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing in this entire game, and I think you might be able to agree with me here, is whichever offense makes the least amount of mistakes, whichever offense doesn't kick their own butt in this one, I think is going to win it. So if the Colts go out and they are not productive on offense, but they don't turn the ball over or don't have horrible mistakes, they'll probably win this one, because this is going to be a defensive slugfest. This is going to be the Steelers defensive line just destroying the Colts offensive line and making life awful for Matt Ryan. And then on the other side, it's going to be really the pass defense, good run defense, stuffing a Steelers offense is still trying to find their identity, trying to figure out a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately it's going to come down to, again, in this third or fourth quarter, there's going to be a big mistake by someone, whether that's Kenny Pickett, whether that's Matt Ryan, who has made a lot of mistakes this season, or whether that's the Colts offensive line, you know, allowing a blindside sack or something like that. I think that's what's really going to decide this game. There's going to be some big turnover or big momentum shift. Maybe even it's like a missed field goal or a blocked field goal or something like that. You know, there's going to be some kind of big momentum shift in the third or fourth quarter that's really going to decide this game. And ultimately, for my score prediction, I have it going 16-13 Steelers in this one. Again, low scoring game, not great offenses, defenses that are pretty solid. I just think that there's going to be, you know, an Alex Highsmith strip sack or something of Matt Ryan in the third quarter, because Bernard Raimann right now, again, he's kind of like the Kenny Pickett of our team, where you drafted him a little high, kind of hoping for the future. He's getting thrown into the fire, and it's not been very, very pretty for him so far. So I think a guy like Highsmith, who's having so much success this year, who's really grown as a pass rusher, it's going to eat him up all day long.
I think that's where my biggest factor comes in, is a lot of times I look at teams and I say, is the defensive line that much better than the offensive line than the other team? Whoever carries that advantage, to me, often carries a big favor into the game. And, you know, there's times it can be negated. You know, the Steelers defensive front was better than the Bengals defensive front, but Joe Burrow made it not matter last week with his four touchdown passes. I think that's one of the big things that you look here, and that's where I give the Steelers an edge this week as far as who they're playing, because I think Matt Ryan's not in the part of his career where he can deal with that nearly as well. You know, if this was a younger quarterback, I think that, and he was seeing the field well, I think I would give the Colts an edge here, because even with their pass rushing, even with their pass protection struggles, I think that there's, a younger quarterback could kind of escape by time. That's what Joe Burrow did last week. But that's where I see this game turning on its head, is that this will be a close game for a while. I'd say like mid, late third quarter, maybe an early fourth quarter. You're going to see both of these teams kind of, you know, taking their shots on third downs. Everyone's going to be trying to protect the football. And then I think it's just going to come down to whose pass rush gets to the quarterback faster. And just with TJ Watt back, I think that this is his chance to kind of cement some things. And he's going to be lining up on the right tackle, Alex Highsmith on the left tackle. And it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how those two guys get after it and play this week. So I also have the Steelers by 3 points, 20-17, similar idea there. I also think there could be a defensive or a special team score in this game by either side that's going to swing things heavily in one team's favor and put another team behind the eight ball a little bit there. So Both of us have similar predictions here on Crossover Thursday, just looking at how this game played out. But I think we could both agree this is going to be a defensive showdown. It's not going to be a pretty game Monday night. It's just going to be one that these two teams are going to have to grit through. And the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is going to be a team that probably comes out on top.
Yeah, and just to do a quick recap for you guys, if we're talking about our biggest storyline in this game, for both of us, it's will these offenses actually get it going against some pretty good defenses? I hope so, but I don't know. When it comes to our biggest matchups, you know, Chris is looking at the Steelers running game versus this Colts run defense that has been really strong this season. You know, the Colts run defense has been really strong even without Shaquille Leonard. And for me, I am looking at this Colts offensive line versus this really, really good defensive front for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then we're talking about our score predictions. I got 16-13 Steelers. Chris has also got 20-17 Pittsburgh Steelers over the Indianapolis Colts. And that's it for us, everyone. Check back with us throughout the week leading up to Monday night for more on this matchup. Follow Carter Critiques on Twitter at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, at Zach Hex 2 on Twitter. Also subscribe to Locked On Colts and Locked On Steelers on YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd love your ratings and review, guys. So please make sure you go over there and do that for us. And thank you for making us your first listen. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys tomorrow.